You're listening to New Hampshire Now with Chris Ryan, presented by the New Hampshire College and University Council, and also this fall by Carter Hill Orchard.
This is New Hampshire Now, with on 1450 and nhtalkradio.com. I am Chris Ryan. I appreciate you joining us for the program. This hour of New Hampshire Now is presented by New England College, as well as Riverbend Community Mental Health, and this segment of the program brought to you by Rath Young and Pignatelli, a national impact that's uniquely New Hampshire. For information, check out rathlaw.com. Joining us right now on the program is Todd Fahey. He's the state director from ARP New Hampshire. And Todd is not feeling well, so we're going to be real easy on Todd today. Kid gloves with Todd. Todd, how are you?
You don't have to be. Take it as hard as you need to.
See, you kidding? No, I can't. You're in a depleted state.
I'm not in a depleted state. We never give up. Thank you.
You're going to have to Lysol this place by the time you're done.
It's like that great line by Alanis Morissette, I'm sick, but I'm working.
To quote the prophet Alanis Morissette. So let's talk, what do we want to talk about today? What's on your mind?
Oh, you know, we can talk about, well, the primary is always
You still
on
managed
mind.
To get your sleeves up just perfect there. They're cuffed, tucked in nicely. I like that.
It's better to look good than to feel well.
No, that's not true. I mean, if you look good, you can feel well. Like, if you feel like you look good, you can. It makes you feel better. But overall, you know, I would rather feel good than look good.
You would rather feel good than look good?
Yeah, because if I don't feel well, I'm not my mental and physical, capacity. My strengths are diminished.
Yeah, that's the difference between, I understand. We have to be, we all have our crosses to bear. And so, mine is this little thing this morning, but I am ready to talk to you about whatever we need to talk about today, Chris Ryan.
Well, first off, we're wishing the best to Bernie Sanders. We talked about that a little bit in the open and with Tom Steyer earlier on the show today, but you brought up Medicare, and just Bernie just pops into my head, Medicare for all. I could see him tweeting, and I don't have the tweet right in front of me, but his when he was tweeting everybody that he was doing okay, he was talking about how he had good health care, and if you imagine going bankrupt, and he ends it with Medicare for all.
Did
it's
he really?
Yeah, it's kind of like Braveheart at the end. Braveheart at the end of the movie. Freedom!
I didn't see that tweet.
Oh, it's great. It's Medicare for all and then exclamation point. It was phenomenal. It was Bernie to a T. And our interview with him from Monday, which you can check out on our website, nhtalkradio.com, it's just so good. Like, it's just, and we have another one coming up with Peter Evers from Riverbend today at 3 p.m. In which we talk specifically about mental health care. Bernie's interviews are just so good. And so I encourage you to listen to it. And the thing about Bernie, too, is that Bernie puts, like, every ounce of energy he has into what he's doing. And so he, you know, and you have to get there. It's kind of like doing this show, as an example. You have to get to that mental point where you're just on and you're passionate, and he's screaming and he's making his points, and he goes up and down in terms of the emotion. And so when people say, oh, Bernie's older, he's 78, yes, but he still, you know, has the same vigor and passion that he did when he was younger. But, you know, obviously, as I was talking about last night, Brian Shackman's show on NECN, yeah, I mean, there's going to be concerns now about Bernie and his health. I don't think we can really, you know, sugarcoat that. He's 78 years of age, and individuals, when they get to be that age, at times have health scares. And it's going to be, you know, for him, really important to see how he gets back and how quickly he gets back. You don't want to rush it, obviously. But, yeah, you look at the field, and you have, Joe Biden at going to be 77, Bernie Sanders 78, the president's 72 and or 73, and Elizabeth Warren 70, and the likelihood is that one of those four individuals is going to be president of the United States in 2020.
Right. Well, I mean, if you're looking for me to agree that age is a disqualifier, you're never going to get that from me.
For the ERP guy?
Never going to get that from me, yeah. Number one. And number two, I think you have to think about this all in relative terms. I mean, there are plenty of people, many, many people. There are 10,000 people every day who turn 65 in the U.S., and they don't necessarily end up dying at 65 or 67. Many of them live way beyond that. So as you well know, the life expectancy is much further along than it was before. And in the usual case, most of these folks, have probably taken reasonably good care of themselves. I had a grandfather who passed away at almost 101, lived alone until he was in his mid-90s, was more than aware in his 80s. So just think, I mean, there are some, I'll be frank, I mean, a couple times you've heard some ageist remarks on the debate stage, and it was a little distressing to see that, certainly because of the mantle we carry, talking about older Americans and what they bring. But to actually see people go after people's mental acuity with such vigor on the stage, and I don't want to name names, but I just think that was a lot. I don't know if it even fell. I don't think it even played well for people to see that. I think you have to be careful about those types of things, because at the end of the day, we're all human, and I can't look at you and say, well, you know, you're not focused on what I'm saying because you're
looking out the window.
Yeah. Because what? Because you're young and you can't pay attention, right? I mean, how obnoxious?
What you just did there.
But how obnoxious is that, right? I mean, you could. What you can simply do is you can. It cuts both ways. You can say you're from the wired generation or close to it, or somebody who is a lot younger. And therefore, because they're from the wired generation, they have a short attention span, and therefore they're not listening, and therefore they're not fit. And then you make the other argument with older people.
Or they don't have the experience and
both
the knowledge.
Equally offensive.
Right. I agree. I think that too often we, as individuals, period, let alone the media, we look for narratives and we look for conventional wisdom and try to see it play out. The young guy, whether it's Pete Buttigieg or me or whomever, doesn't have the experience, doesn't have the knowledge to be able to stand toe-to-toe with a Joe Biden who has all the gravitas, the experience, and everything else. But they may have all the experience, but is it the right type of experience? Is it the right type of philosophy for that time period? A person shouldn't be discounted just because they are coming into something being younger. That may mean they have a fresh outlook, new ideas, and perhaps better ideas than ones that have been used before. That being said, you can also not look at an individual who has experience and say, well, they're from the past. And
agreed.
I mean, I think we have too often in media, we feel like there's a certain narrative that needs to play out and be reinforced. And if Kamala Harris or Cory Booker, whoever, misspeaks or forgets where they are, it's not a story because we automatically assume that there's no problem with them. There's nothing to be concerned about. They're 50. So there's no reason. If Joe Biden does that, it's a huge deal because he's older and they're trying to enforce that that narrative with him or with Bernie Sanders or Hillary Clinton, whomever. The fact of the matter is there is preconceived notions in regards to age, but they are being shattered at this point in time. If individuals in the past, you would not expect them to be able to perform and have as vigorous a campaign as individuals in that age group are having. But the fact of the matter is that everything has changed, and you have to be comfortable with that change and not say, well, no, just they're too old. That doesn't work.
Right.
And so you look at the Rolling Stones as an example. Stones had one of the best tours, and they're in their mid to late 70s.
There's plenty of those 1970s artists who sound amazing, and they can still sing if you take care of your voice. And we've had advances in healthcare and medicine,
right?
That's accrued to the benefit of many people, for sure. I mean, one thing I'll say is that experience does matter. Let's think about it. If one can speak of a Category 3 hurricane or a category for hurricane on an academic sense. I've read about them. I've seen the destruction.
Sure.
I'll tell you what. I've actually lived through one, thankfully, in the Caribbean on an island. And until you sit through one of those things for 4 hours, you don't have any idea what that feels like. It's the experience. It does matter. Same with the birth of a child. Same with a marriage. Same with holding the hand of a loved one passing away. I'm simply saying that experience in many ways does matter. And I'm not saying that it just matters. I'm not going to...
It does matter, but the person who is who has just studied the hurricane can talk to you about what's going to take place and can read the weather charts and tell you what it's going to be like. Yes, they're not going to have the same type of gravitas in the lived experience when they're describing it, but that doesn't mean they don't have the knowledge base. I mean, there's different positive strengths,
yeah.
And from being young and approaching things from that perspective, and from being older. And I don't think that they should be that either one of them should be discounted and discarded without giving the person their fair hearing.
I think that
Buttigieg and Sanders and Biden are great examples in this particular conversation.
I don't disagree with that. I'm simply saying that there are some things that cannot be redefined a certain way because people wish to redefine them. You cannot simply say, because I have a fresh and new idea about how to weather out a Category 3 or 4 hurricane, that just because that's a new idea,
that's gonna work.
Makes sense.
Right.
Sometimes that's baloney. And because we lack sometimes critical thinking skills, or we don't have the time or the energy to engage in a thoughtful consideration of what it is that people are saying, we nod our head in gentle and polite.
I feel like you're getting angry, Todd.
No, I'm not angry. Okay. I'm just right. I'm trying to fend off a cough.
Okay.
I'm trying to speak quickly before I cough.
Okay.
Yeah, you know, they. It doesn't mean it makes sense, right? Sometimes it just does not. So,
unsuccessful.
See what you're causing me to do here?
Yeah,
it's not because I'm older than you either.
Well, I'm not going to. No comment. No, that's if a cough is a cough, no matter.
Excuse me.
It matter if you're however old you are or however young I am.
Yeah, but you're thinking he's older than me, and I'm not coughing.
No, not yet. Not
right
after you're being
when married. I leave, you will, because you won't have the experience.
I'll have the experience of being around you today, and therefore I'll be sick.
But anyways, I mean, the point is a good one. I just think that experience does matter. Age is not a disqualifier, and we should not. I think we do that at our own peril. We do it everywhere. We do it all the time. We do it with older workers and experienced workers. We say one thing and we do another. And that's just the fact, you know, we've talked about this 100 times in this show. 65 isn't even full retirement age anymore. 67 is. And we talk about 65 as some number where everybody stops, you know, participating, which is crazy.
Each person in any circumstance should be viewed as an individual and should be treated as an individual. And to have pre-qualifiers or preconceived notions on an individual based upon their age, sexual orientation, race, ethnicity, all down the line. It's all the same to me. Equality is equality. And if a person's showing up and there's the best person to qualify to do the job, then it shouldn't matter how old they are, how young they are, or anything else.
Look, I love the conviction and the passion of that young woman. Excuse me again. Greta. Not only did she take, she just walks the walk. She was concerned about her carbon footprint, took a train for some 24 or 26 hours to get to, was it Davos? Is that where she was? Pretty amazing. And then to get here, she took a boat. She sailed here to get to the United Nations, which I thought was incredible. And there's a young woman who had, you know, phenomenal experience. And sometimes the voice of a different generation is powerful. And
right.
It doesn't have to be an older voice.
But it's also mocked. And individuals, many of them said, you know, who are you? You're 16 years old. Who are you to lecture people who are experienced about climate change? But the fact of the matter is that, you know, as I said, I admire her a lot. And, you know, through a course of time, you have to not just lecture folks, but you have to work with them and engage with them in order to actually create change, similar to, you know, what we saw with Martin Luther King. But I think that passion is important. But she was dismissed outwardly by many individuals who basically said, oh, you know, isn't that cute? She's out there and she cares, but guess what? She's too young. She shouldn't be out there. She has no place in this conversation. And, you know, dismiss at your own peril. And same could be said for an individual who's you know, who walks onto the stage at 80 and folks are like, well, his time, her time has passed. What are they doing here? You know, no, go back to where you were. No, go. That's, and it exists all the time. There's significant ageism on both sides of the aisle, in my view. But
no, I think that's true, and I think that's true as far as she's concerned. In literature, there used to be this concept of the everyman, sort of that one figure that sort of spoke for so many different people, or there's something common to all of humanity. And as I looked at her, I mean, she's certainly not every man, but it is every young person, mm-hmm. that type of figure. She purported to speak with a voice that was relevant to many in her age demographic. And dismissing her was dismissing many people with legitimate concerns. And just because she doesn't have a PhD does not mean that climate change is not profoundly important to her and those of her age. And, you know, obviously that's not necessarily the lane that we're in. Well, it's not the lane that we're in, but you know, it's a topic of the day, mm-hmm. to the extent we're talking about the age and the speaker and what that person brings to the discussion. So it's definitely an interesting time, and I just hope that as we go through this primary, we really focus on what people's message are, what their experience and what their abilities are. Frankly, it's not just the message and it's what their abilities are.
Todd, as always, appreciate joining us for the program.
It's always a pleasure to be here, Chris.
That's Todd Fahey from ARP New Hampshire, State Director, joining us here on the New Hampshire Now Show. This hour, the program presented by New England College as well as Riverbend Community Mental Health. And this segment of the program brought to you by Rath Young and Pignatelli and RathLaw.com.
You're listening to New Hampshire Now with Chris Ryan, presented by the New Hampshire College and University Council, and also this fall by Carter Hill Orchard.